And so to lobsters, or crayfish if you prefer. How old is the one you're going to sample this weekend? It's very hard to tell. So I asked Professor Danny Buescher, who's just found out.
So what's the problem in telling the age of crabs and lobsters?
Well, in order to tell the age of any animal, you generally find a hard part, so like a bone, a tooth or a shell, and you section it and polish it and look for growth rings like you would in the trunk of a tree. So these sort of variations between rapid summer growth and slow winter growth, and you just count the rings and there's the age of the animal. But the trouble with crustaceans, crabs and lobsters, is that when they grow, because they have all their hard parts on the outside, they have to molt and they shed all their hard parts and grow a completely new set. And therefore, there's no growth rings left to tell what happened in their past.
Why do you want to know their age?
In order to run a sustainable fishery, you need to be able to estimate how much you can take out of that population while leaving enough animals behind to be able to replace what you took out. And to do that, you need to know basically how fast they grow, how big they are at a certain age, how long do they take to get to fishable size, reproductive size. And in a lot of crab and lobster fisheries, there's also a maximum size. So how long do they stay in the fishery? And once they leave the fishery as an oversized individual, how long do they live as a breeding individual then?
Can you do the same with prawns and krill?
Prawns, it's probably not all that important because we grow them in aquaculture and they're very short-lived. So 1 year, 1.5 years, maybe a two-year-old is an old prawn. So telling the age of prawns hasn't been all that important because we've got a pretty good idea how old they are. But when you come to something like eastern rock lobster, we know they live at least 30 years. That's sort of been the estimate up till now. After that, we don't know. If you tag them and catch them again, well, they hardly grow at all in that time. You can leave them out for 5 or 10 years and they'll still come back the same size. So they could be 50 years old. We didn't know.
And people have been as vague as that about such creatures.
That's right, yes. Another one that really stands out is the Tasmanian giant crab. Again, estimates of up to 50 years for an animal like that. But again, it's been plus or minus 20 years.
So Danny, how did you do it? How did you crack it?
Well, it's an interesting little story because it actually starts with worms. I had a problem trying to find the age of beach worms. And I found a student who was very good. He told me what the age of them was. He worked out how to do it. But in the same time, he was helping another colleague who was working on taxonomy of crayfish. And crayfish in their stomach have this secondary set of teeth that grind up their food called the gastric mill. And my student, Jesse Leland, noticed that when he dissected one of these mills out, because they were trying to count the teeth to tell the difference between different species of crayfish, he found one that was just in the process of molting, and it didn't look like it was replacing the mill. And he came running to me and said, "You know, Danny, how you've told me to look out for some hard part in crabs and lobsters that isn't lost in the molt? I think I found it." And so I gave him some money, sent him down to the co-op, said, "Buy up some mud crabs, some Moreton Bay bugs, some lobsters, bring them back, section them through, and if they've got growth rings, we've got a story." And they did.
They had growth rings. And they discernible ones, easily discernible?
It depends on the species. Unfortunately, the one that we were really interested in, the giant crab, they're really hard to distinguish. They're there, but they come in and they go, and you can count them in parts, not others. So unfortunately, we haven't got very far with the giant crab. But eastern rock lobster, yes, they're very clear, and we've got a very good idea now of how old they go.
How old do they grow to?
Well, our oldest one that we could count, you're testing my memory here, is about 35 years. But there's also some large ones. Some individuals, depending on what stage of the molt cycle they're at, are harder or easier to read. And we had some of the biggest ones ever caught, and unfortunately they were ones that were hard to read. And so I couldn't tell you how old our biggest one was. I can tell you that our oldest one was certainly more than 35 years old.
Isn't it fascinating? Because if you're looking at you and me, especially me, there are all sorts of signs all over as to how old. And you'd imagine that apart from one bit of skeleton, internal skeleton or external skeleton, there would be something about the general body that would tell you it's older.
Well, they do what I guess a lot of us would love to be able to do. Change the entire outside surface every so often. And when they get really old and really big, they're not growing very much at all. And if it wasn't for the fact that things grow on that hard surface and they need to clean it every so often, they probably wouldn't need to molt very much at all. but they do, they still molt occasionally just to provide a nice, fresh, new, clean, young-looking surface.
And the mussels don't get, ropey or the internal parts?
There's no evidence, at least from eating them, that the flesh of an older one is any worse than the flesh of a younger one.
That was my point, yeah.
No, they don't seem to get tougher or anything like that. One of the things to be careful of with very old animals in the marine environment is that they can accumulate heavy metals, even in a very clean ocean. Things like traces of mercury, which generally come from human activities, but they will accumulate over time. So generally, eating ones that have had a chance to reproduce, but not ones that are really old, is the best option.
Well, obviously, if you want to look at the health of populations, you can count them, and perhaps you can count the number of obvious juveniles versus the obvious adults. Has anyone applied your ageing techniques to see how populations are affected so far?
Not yet, because the technique has really just been confirmed. Essentially, what we did was said, look, animals that we know or species that we know live a long time have more of these lines. Older ones have more lines than younger ones, so these could be annual. We've then spent the last 2 or 3 years proving that they are actually annual, and it's taken us that long. So we've had to, for instance, stain animals at different sizes with a fluorescent stain called calcine, let them grow for 2 years, and then sacrifice them and section them, and we can see the stain line, and then we can see one or two lines, depending on how long they've been out for, and say, look, those lines are 2 years after the stain line, there's two lines, those are annual lines, and so it takes 2 years to prove that. But we've just got to that point where we're writing our final report on that study, and we're very confident now that for all of the rock lobsters we looked at, and certainly crabs that we've looked at so far, that they are actually annual bands.
Congratulations. When's this report out?
Well, I think we've got something like 2 weeks to finish it. We're flat out at the moment. And then once that's gone to a final report to the Fisheries Research and Development Corporation, who are funding the program, then we'll start to break it into individual papers on each of the different species. And that's going to be a long process because we have collaborators all around Australia for each of the different species. We've got one or two guys in each of the state fisheries departments helping us out.
Associate Professor Danny Busher at Southern Cross University in Lismore, Northern New South Wales. And good luck with those giant crabs from Tasmania.